and welcome to the Pocket Game iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 163. I am your host this week, Will Wilson, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
Peter Wellington.
Hello.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. So hello.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. So did everyone have a good Valentine's Day?
He's not messing around, is he?
It's the intro. What? I wasn't going to just drop it into a game story.
Oh.
I might do that later, though.
I had a lovely Valentine's Day. Zynga put out their financial accounts. I was working till at least 10:30.
Sounds really
fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
I went out with a date with a girl.
With a girl? Oh, the robot girl. All right, it all comes back now.
I thought that was Keith tweeting me that.
No.
Oh, no.
Robot girl.
Can I ask this date with a girl that you had? Are you going to make her listen to this? Will you brag about
I haven't actually told her that. I haven't told her that where I work.
I wouldn't.
I said I was like an insurance salesman. I thought that'd be a little bit safer than a game journalist.
Yeah. I test chemicals on animals is probably a better.
It's more of a turn on. Anyway, yes, so that went well. I'm not going to talk in much detail about
that
it.
That went well!
I just want to brag a little bit.
Boom, that went well.
I didn't say boom.
I'm taking it as red. That's just...
I should have said boom. I implied the boom.
Well, that went well, didn't it? Yes. It's like the English approach.
Yeah, that's good.
I quite enjoyed that. What about you?
Yeah.
carry on, Will.
It was good. I'm not gonna spill my heart out. This is like a public podcast.
I'm glad you realised that.
So that was fun. I hope you guys at home had a good Valentine's, and if not, don't worry, because we've got a great podcast coming up, filled with the latest news, views, reviews, and chews.
I'll be a bit disturbed if it fills the void that people have when they're single on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I was going to say that if you're going to try and fill the void, I always find alcohol and cutting yourself is pretty good.
I'm going to have to edit that last bit out.
We're not having any sponsors this week, I don't think.
Yeah, I think all our sponsors just run away. Actually, wait a minute, hang on. We don't have any sponsors normally. Except for this delicious Cadbury's chocolate.
Actually, I'm drinking a huge mug of tea from our lovely Chingo mugs, so I think technically they're sponsors this
corruption.
Week. I've been drinking from it all week. It's amazing.
We announced it this week. They're sponsoring our bathroom breaks all week.
Oh, yeah. Good point. It's too big, that mug.
It's fine. It's enormous.
Brilliant. That's the kind of cup of tea I like.
I haven't told Dan this, but yeah, it's too big.
It's so big that you have to microwave it towards the end because it's been in there so long.
Oh. Yeah, I had one mug of it with coffee in. My normal dose. I thought, actually, I'd added two spoons. So I thought, well, it's quite a big mug. And that just made me jump off the walls. Anyway, enough about mugs.
Just explain to the audience what the mug is, maybe.
Chilingo sent us all, like, a mug. Well, not Peter.
No.
Sorry, Peter.
Not me.
It's okay.
Poco Loco mug.
Yeah, it was like it's a mug promoting one of their upcoming games. It was a mug with hot chocolate, which I ruined because I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfect time for a hot chocolate, and I boiled a kettle and put water in it.
Water in it. Nice. It's proper chocolate with hot milk.
Yeah, it's hot milk. So, but they sent us that, but the mugs are too big.
They're perfect size. I'm not using mine. It came with branded marshmallows as well, but I've said I'm keeping mine until Dan at Chilingo, who sent them, becomes incredibly famous, and then I can sell it on eBay for a lot of money.
You can sell marshmallows?
Yeah, marshmallows given to me with a face on from Dan. The Dan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said this when he's CEO.
This is the high level of corruption that happens in the mobile gaming press. We get sent mugs.
You get sent mugs and we all fall apart.
Yeah. ruin the hot chocolate.
If we do give it a 10, that will look very suspicious.
It will. It better not be any good.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
Anyway, on to the news. First up on the news this week, we'll start with a nice quick one, I guess. BAFTA nominations are out this week. which is always interesting. Well,
what's a BAFTA? What's a BAFTA?
What's a BAFTA? For our American listeners, it's a British Academy of Film and Television Arts Award. Do we
call it a UK Oscar?
It's essentially, yeah, it's like the UK Oscar. But this is the Oscar Games spin-off, which they don't have.
Suggesting that Americans aren't gripped when the BAFTAs are on television. They not tune in like we tune into the Oscars.
No, because, I mean, the Golden Globes are the ones that the pre-Oscars, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah. That's the BAFTAs is like the pre-Golden Globes.
Ricky Gervais didn't make many bad jokes this time, didn't he? So.
Very poor.
Yeah, true. But this is their games division, which they introduced a few years back, which is nice.
They've had it for years, but it was getting.
Yeah. Now. It's been a few years they've had it. But they've been kicking up the you know, people's tension about it, and the awards picking up a little bit of prestige, obviously, because BAFTA's very well known in the UK as a start. But anyway, this year they've changed the handheld category to be mobiles and handheld.
To be honest, they're always dicking around with that, aren't they? I mean,
yeah,
it's just like there's always pretty much every year they've changed some part of what mobile is, kind of thing.
That's true. But the interesting thing for me for this year, let's say the nomination.
Yeah, yeah.
Got Dead Space. That's EA's Dead Space, rather than Keith's Dead Space.
What?
We don't talk about that. Magnetic Billiards Blueprint, which got a gold award. I still haven't played that. Everyone loves it.
It's good.
Quarrel, which I have played and I love. Yeah. The Nightjar, which is the sequel to Papa Sangria, audio only horror adventure, which is intriguing. Peggle, which is Peggle.
Although we had a big debate about which Peggle were they, because there was a DS one, wasn't there? A downloadable DS one. And an Android one.
Yeah.
So I'm not very clear on that.
And I think that's it for the mobile selection.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the one that isn't mobile in the handheld and mobile category is Super Mario 3D Land, which is a bit weird because last year only Cut the Rope was mobile nominated against like God of War and stuff like this.
And it won.
So
what's interesting about this one actually is when I was writing up for Biz and I was looking back at stuff we'd written before, and the guys behind Magnetic Billiards, one of the guys, Steve Pickford, had kind of previously kind of had a bit of a rant on the studio's blog about how the BAFTA, how you had to get nominated and so forth, and how it was kind of squeezing people who didn't have big budgets and stuff. And you know, he kind of interestingly said today, he posted a blog post about it saying how he was quite surprised. He woke up this morning and found they'd been nominated, and how he'd actually been invited to see BAFTA after he complained. And then they said you should really nominate your game. So he did, and they're up there. So, but you know, I mean, it's a good game.
In a way, it's a little bit weird because it's got that backstory. In a way, it's not weird because I mean, I don't think many people do nominate their games for BAFTA, and it does. I can't remember how much money. I know it used to cost money, and I was involved with some of the console stuff, and you used to have to provide copies of your games for people to play and stuff. So,
oh, hello, judge on the BAFTA.
What? Oh, a long time ago. Yeah. But actually, it was quite annoying because literally what happened was a box of 30 games turned up that you expected to play.
Oh, that sounds terrible. 30 of the best games of the previous year just turning up at your door. That must have been hell, man.
It was. It was like by 2 weeks' time, you have to write a report on them, or you know. So, of course, what happened is important people in the industry who haven't got time to play games and don't play games basically would like, make stuff up. Giving away all the secrets now, aren't I?
You're spoiling the magic.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't this just, like, we're always kind of talking about how mobile games and handheld games aren't exactly the same stuff and we should treat them differently.
Mm.
So why are they part of the same category? Like, Super Mario 3D Land is a completely different type of game to Peggle. Like, the experience that you have out of it is totally, totally different.
To be honest, I've put many hours into Peggle.
No, I'm not talking about length, though. I'm talking about, like, it's a very, like, the environment that you play them in, the way that you approach them is completely different. And to lump them all together just seems a little bit.
With all award ceremonies, they're basically a, you know, it's like a taxidermy. Basically, you're trying to kind of, there's a whole spectrum of things that you're trying to put into little silos that are comparable. I mean, all my views, all award ceremonies for any single media or anything are all a load of bollocks in the sense that how you fabricate them, and all it is to to end up with 10 people at the end of the evening who go, oh, we're at War Pretty Frock and I won something. Someone then buys. I mean, it's a, you know, I'm very skeptical about them all. So basically, they just come up with something that seems vaguely logical, but you can pick holes in any award ceremony.
Fabrication, taxidermy. What? You're not really selling. You're breaking the dreams of me. You're breaking my dreams.
What, by using words?
Yeah, by using nasty words about, you know. So what? I like wearing the frock. Anyway, on to the next story. I'm not joking. I do like the frock. Yes, yeah, Super Meat Boy. Now, this is an interesting one as well. Team Meat has confirmed that Super Meat Boy will be coming to touchscreen phones, so Android and iOS. But it's going to be a complete re-envisioning of the game. So it's not going to be a port of the original on that featured on PC, Xbox Live, and PS3, I think. Yeah. So they're going to do that. Now, let's backtrack a bit, though. Let's rewind a year and go back to a previous story where they basically released an app which took the piss out of the App Store and said, like, smartphones are terrible. You know, the App Store itself is terrible. We're never going to make a game for it. It seems a bit weird.
Never say never.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm quite intrigued to see. But of course, this is probably going to be made because they've also said if it's a bit crap, if they can't get the controls to work very well, then they will just scrap it. I can't see that happening, you know.
No, they're too small, you know, relatively. And get it all the way to like a working build and then go, never mind. Don't worry about it. Like, it just seems like a massive waste of time and money for them to do that when they could be working on, you know, Super Meat Boy 2 or whatever.
But I think, I don't know, I haven't read the specifics of this news, but normally what happens is they find one of their mates who's done an iPhone game and get him to do it. I mean, that's kind
true.
Of,
yeah,
that's yeah. kind of what happens. So, because those kind of, you know, those kind of creative chaps are not particularly interested in effectively porting. tech porting stuff, so they'll just find someone. I didn't remember there was one other indie game, I can't remember which one it was, that was exactly the same, and it was like, oh, we're really, really not sure it can come to touch screen phones.
Super Crate Box, because they got
and then, of course, amazingly, as the person they found to do it, they said, oh, it's amazing, we didn't think it could be done, and they did it, and actually it came out, and it was kind of so-so, you know. It's just a perspective thing, I think.
Yep, true. But we don't have any dates on it, obviously, yet, but that's something to look out for in the future. Here's another one. Another indie dev, but of a completely different size. Double Fine, a.k.a. the studio what Tim Schafer heads up, has confirmed that it's going to be bringing its Kickstarter project-funded Double Fine Adventure to iOS and Mac.
Android.
Can I just very quickly throw out all journalistic sensibility for 2 seconds?
Uh-oh. Watch out, though, because we got very different views on this panel from the commonly perceived opinion on this. Okay. So okay. Watch out.
Well, for the next 3 seconds, just imagine that this isn't my job. You ready?
Woo! Yeah!
Cross line. Okay, that's got an idiot on the line. Yeah. What's going on here?
What's going on? What are you trying to do, eh? Who are you?
Enthusiasm in our podcast. How dare you?
No enthusiasm allowed here.
Can't wait. I literally cannot wait for this.
Well, you said something that okay, fair enough. I don't think you're not going to get anyone arguing. You will. Probably John and Keith. Probably John and Keith can't wait for this game. But I'm with you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. It's quite. If you don't know about the origins of this story, listeners, it's because effectively Double Fine went to Kickstarter, which is a crowdsourced or crowdfunded initiative, where basically they say if you pay this amount of money towards making the game, then we'll give you the game. If you pay this amount, which is higher, we'll give you all this, and it goes up and up until you pay.
You get stuff like free t-shirts.
Yeah, free. And one of the high rewards, like $100,000 or something, was no, $10,000 was having lunch with Tim Schafer and you know, and Ron Gilbert, and bowling.
Oh dear, I'd be too embarrassed to turn up.
Yeah. But you know, I threw in my $30.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And so for that, you just get a copy of the game, do you?
No, I get a copy of the game. I get all access to the making of videos, because they might be interesting for work, actually. and a lot of some other stuff. Not much, but I mean, like, $30 isn't that bad.
Mm.
And, of course, everyone gets early beta access on the PC version.
Beta.
And it's Double Fine, and I quite like their games. I don't think they're always amazing games, but they've got their heart in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of argue that it's a kind of a, you know, it's the exception that proves the rule. I mean, suddenly everyone's going, oh, everyone can get this kind of stuff funded like that. And obviously some people you can, I mean, there are various of these services that do it in different ways. So some of them you get a return on your money. So if you put like $20 in, you get like $10. As a profit, and some you get equity share in the company or the event. But basically, just because it's Tim Schafer, who literally everyone knows in the entire world, then that's the reason that's worked. I mean, I don't think it's a great model for the industry. Like,
no,
some people seem to be suggesting.
It's a cult of personality, isn't it? That's basically driving this forward. But it does open up the possibility of fans potentially funding games that they actually really do want to see sequels to. Somebody floated about the idea of getting in contact with Yu Suzuki. And,
no, that would never work. It would require like 40 million people to pay money.
It's like $60 billion.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, for it's a new method of moving forward to like finance games, and I think that's very interesting, isn't it?
It isn't new. It's like this model has existed for well over a year. Anyone could have
much
done
longer
this
than that.
Yeah, I mean, but the only reason it gained attention is because of him, and exactly the reason why it was able to raise that amount of money. It was just, I said to all you lot before, I found it really depressing on the day that when this was going on, rather than celebrating, as was kind of in the first, you know, because it's kind of broke throughout the day. In the first few hours, people were just kind of celebrating that, yeah, this game is going to get made, that, you know, it already passed the target and off it went. And then towards the end of the day, as the night drew in, it suddenly became about, let's all hate on publishers. And there were people who consider respected developers all, you know, basically saying, well, we don't need publishers anymore. Bye-bye. You know, you're all dead. And you kind of thought you were absolutely deluded.
The interesting thing is now I'm starting to see articles which say what we were saying literally on the day that they announced the whole initiative. So eventually there's going to be these articles where hang on, actually, maybe it doesn't mean the death of publishers.
I mean, I mean, to some degree, to kind of go with Peter's enthusiasm is that, you know, it is for some things it is a brilliant model, because it's not just the money you raise that's the brilliant model. So I mean, obviously, all you guys now who've put like your $30 up, you're going to be completely over that. Anything that comes out, you're going to be like writing about it, tweeting about it, telling your friends. I mean, assuming the game develops well and looks and even like a 75 out of 100, 7 out of 10 or something, then everyone's going to be really enthusiastic because they made it happen, kind of thing. But of course, if it's a complete flop, then you know, everyone is going to be slamming it. And so you've kind of built in, it's nice that it builds in the kind of the budgetary aspect, and you have this huge enthusiastic kind of viral marketing group that are going to go out and sell
basically you've got your own marketing team, but
literally that, I mean, just there are like five companies in the world that's going to work for. I mean, just your average developer who no one knows, it's just going to be meaningless. Because like, well, how many games would you fund in that way? You're not going to...
I went through quite a lot of people who could probably fund it in our office chat before. I mean, lots of old game designers who have been kicking around for ages. I mean, like, I could add another one on there. Because, I mean, like, if Will Wright did it, it would be funded.
Because it's the first one, everyone's going to fund it. If Will Wright does it, again, he's a big guy. But then suddenly you get like the second, people aren't going to give $100. They're not going to do like three.
No, but it's not going to be the same people that give that money to like Tim Schafer as the ones who say that.
I think there's a potentially quite a small group of people who had to give up money like that for not getting anything back in the first place. So
to be fair, the actual numbers of people contributing to the fund of the company isn't that big. It was tens of thousands, not.
That's not my point. Well, everyone was getting
it's a very
carried away
dedicated niche who aren't serviced by the main publishing routes, and because.
Although to be fair, so there's nothing like Tim Schafer not being funded by publishing routes. Pretty much every game he's made has been massively funded.
No, that's not what I mean. There's no point of click ventures coming out that are, you know, big budget. They're always quite small. So, you know, that sort of genre fans want a, you know, a big game made by one of the big giants of that industry. He's not going to get a massive amount of funding from a publisher for that sort of type of game anymore, even though he's got his name. It's just because it wouldn't sell that much.
I mean, that was the other thing. That's what I was kind of suggesting, that all these people were kind of saying, oh, well, this proves it will sell that much. But when you, you say, when you looked at the numbers, it was, I think it was around 50,000 people.
Yeah,
everyone was getting fixated with the money.
Stupid. I mean, they know what sells and what doesn't. And that's one of the reasons why they don't make point and clicks anymore, really.
The most interesting point to come out of it was that it highlighted how daft the current, I mean, this is outside mobile, really, but the current pricing system we have of games being between £30 and £40, because it kind of suggested that there is a small group of people who, if they love something enough, will pay way in advance of that. And so to simply charge this standard figure, which blocks out people who would want to play smaller, you know, who don't want to pay that amount, but then also you're not exploiting the people who would play far more than that. It kind of shows how kind of rudimentary this random
It's almost like an extension of the collector's edition style pricing that you get. Yeah. They should have a lower tier for the pricing, say like £20 to £30, and then gradually get a bit higher, like collector's edition 1, collector's edition 2, you know, so that you can get the real people who are really fanatical about it, can pay their extra money and really enjoy it, whilst the normal people, you know, I don't know.
As we've discussed, I mean, that's obviously what they've been doing with like elite packs on you know, Call of Duty, that kind of stuff, so it's all going that way. Okay, should we move on, though?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. we'll fly through. Apple's doing a Windows 8 with the next OS X. It's the news that broke today. Basically, they are increasing the pace at which both iOS and OS X blend in together, i.e. they're introducing Game Center to OS X. Of course, this being OS X and this being Apple, you have to pay for the next version of OS X.
Does anyone care about Game Center anyway? I still don't think anyone uses it.
Does anyone care about games on Macs?
It's not like...
It's definitely growing.
It's not like saying, you know, Xbox Live to this, that, the other thing. And Game Center is literally just a thing. I don't think anyone actually engages with it. It's not really a selling point. I mean, the name is so bloody boring.
I will say this, though. Although I agree with you in the main, the game I've been playing this week doesn't have Game Center, and it really, really needs Game Center.
Well, yeah, but it's just a link, isn't it? I mean, there's a difference between something that is a link and that literally just...
You'll find out when I talk about the game. Because
a service that literally links people together, and something which actively acts as a community, which Xbox Live arguably does more so than Game Center, which is just a thing. And it's like Ping, really. I don't think Apple really gets Apple's so slick that it doesn't actually open itself up to be kind of penetrated by users. So kind of
beg your
wrong.
Pardon.
You know what I mean? It's not soft and cuddly enough that it can do something like a social platform. It's kind of failed both times it's tried, really. Game Center is used by everyone almost, but it's not actually, if someone actually could serve up something far better, then everyone would switch, because it's just a thing. It doesn't actually, I can't remember the last time I ever started the Game Center app thinking, oh, let's see what's going on. I couldn't give a toss, you know.
What it really needs is love.
Love?
Yeah.
Valentine's.
Valentine's week this week.
it is strange, as you say, because I remember when Game Center was announced, it was about 2 years ago. And it's like, you know, it was a big fuss then, because it's like, you know, there were these existing kind of, you know, Open Faint and Plus and all that kind of stuff that people were, yeah, they were fulfilling a need, and people, you know, they looked like they were going to go somewhere, and then everyone's like, oh, Game Center's going to kill it. And then basically that was pretty much all that happened. Game Center was announced, and then, I mean, I'm sure there are people working on it, and, you know, they've added stuff for, like, you know, turn-based games. I think it's always the problem that, you know, you always get more innovation from companies who are completely dedicated to this one part of the industry. And it's their whole thing. If they fail on that, then they go bust. And they're obviously always going to do more interesting stuff than, you know, Apple. I think, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think games obviously should use Game Center, but it's just like a default thing that you have to have. Like, so adding it to Mountain Lion is just like, yeah, it's completely makes sense. It's part of Apple's kind of siloed thing that you get iCloud in it, or, you know, so that you buy an Apple device, it all sits within that system. You know what's going to happen, but it's not going to. I don't think it's going to change any. No one's going to play more, really. I don't think people are going to cross-platform play. I don't think that's really going to take off that much, really. So
it's not surprising. I mean, you look at all these companies kind of fail doing. I mean, you know, kind of taking that whole social side of things. Google's completely botched up Google Plus. No one uses that. It's an absolute. Ever since it launched, it's been.
According to my Android fanboy friends, Everyone uses Google Plus.
Oh, no one uses Google Plus.
But it's interesting that in a sense everyone uses it because basically Google just like slap it. You can't not use it. No one actively uses it. It's just there, isn't it?
No one actively uses it. I would argue actually in much the same way that a lot of PlayStation Network is kind of a bit half-hearted, and I don't think it really drives the same level of connection as something like Xbox Live. And Nintendo, I don't think really still understands the
Nintendo
whole
side
of thing. It's just kind of, it is really hard thing for everyone to get right. And Game Center, I think, is no more, no worse or better than most of the others. But it's a bit kind of, it seems a bit desperate this to me. We're going to put Game Center on.
To be fair though, at least Game Center doesn't have friend codes.
Oh yeah, I mean,
all be thankful about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I've got a great link. We've got to move after a bit. Talking of Nintendo, iCade has just released a new controller again. This is like the fourth controller that's coming up. It's called the iCade 8-Bitty. Well, actually, it's not iCade who are the makers, but it's the iCade 8-Bitty. And it's based on the old NES controller, essentially. Oh, no, it isn't, actually, because there's four buttons. But the D-pad is very similar.
It's entirely wrong, haven't you?
Finish.
You've got a clue what you're talking about.
No, but the start and select are kind of the similar. But they've got four buttons, and they should have just two.
Aren't they massively in copyright territory with that cross pad, the D-pad? Mm.
They are a bit, they are skirting the line.
There's no skirting at all, is it? That's completely...
They're not allowed at all to use that design. Like, that D-pad design is completely patented.
We don't know. Maybe
Nintendo.
I can't really see from this range, but maybe they've curved the edges on the thing.
Maybe.
Because there are ways of getting around that. I mean,
everyone else
puts the extra depth on their D-pads, don't they?
Mm.
Around the side. I mean, it looks quite cool. I like all of iCade stuff. I still haven't used any of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was going to write a feature up about like peripherals that I really want, and then like three of them came out in the news. So I was like, but yeah, one of them that still hasn't been made, and I'll get onto this later when I'm reviewing a game. Anyway, so next up, final thing in the news. Is Hasbro, keeping on with the sort of peripheral theme, Hasbro has released its first range of iPad / board game hybrids, which seems odd. And also was going to feature in my feature I was writing.
Are you going to explain what it is?
Yeah, basically, they've released Game of Life, first one in the range of board games, where you put your iPad in the center of the board, and it acts as the spinner.
Which is
the most pointless thing I can think of.
I think we can agree that the Game of Life is the best board game ever made.
No. I like it, but no.
All right. Well, the sense listeners, you and me, we agree.
Cluedo.
Oh, come on. But I mean, this is a little bit strange. Like, the spinner itself does the job.
Yeah, no, to be fair, Game of Life is probably their worst one they could have picked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Monopoly is also coming out of it. And that will include your money being counted, and you can scan your iPhone like the modern Monopoly boards where you get credit cards. I always wanted one of them, by the way. They're quite expensive, but I always wanted one. And you get like that, so it's going to get a little bit more interesting. But yeah, it's a bit weird. By the way, the best board game is, of course, a toss-up between Carcassonne or Catan.
No, they're like geeky board games. Board games you can play with your gran at Christmas. She's not going to be playing those.
This new girl of yours, Will. Don't tell her about Carcassonne, for heaven's sake.
No, she's not going to be turned on by that. Although it is good.
I used to play Carcassonne a lot with my previous ladies.
Yeah, but you're from Cambridge.
I managed to sneak it in.
Will, I'd also suggest the term your previous ladies suggests that maybe they weren't so impressed by playing.
they did flee shortly after I started the game. You know, I used to go, like, me and a group of friends, including women, used to play like tournaments on Catan.
This is why you're doing the job you're doing. This is why this is why you're not an international DJ or
what?
Or a world famous football player. It's
I tell you what, guys, these agriculture board games are like catnip to the ladies.
It's not just about agriculture. There's knights and hobbits.
I feel quite cool now. Carry on.
Anyway, so there we go. They're probably going to be incredibly overpriced. Oh no, you can buy a Game of Life for $24.99 from Toys R Us.
It's right. Does it not come with the spinner then? So literally, you can only buy this board game if you have an iPad.
No.
Does it not come with a spare spinner, or this is just an option? Or is there just no spinner there at all?
Anything. Well, the thing you're not mentioned is they got these zapper things, which are guns that you put your iPad in and go around like doing augmented reality. Surely that's the main point of it, isn't it? Have I missed something there?
Oh yeah, the zapper ones. Yes,
the
sorry, I missed
ones.
That.
That's the main thing, isn't it? For little
kids.
Yeah,
I linked to the wrong story. There's two in one. But they're also bringing out laser tag.
Well, that would work as well, wouldn't it?
That would actually work.
There's
about four companies doing this at the same time.
Well, actually, Keith was sent one of these for Christmas, wasn't he, Keith?
I haven't got it yet.
Yeah, no, he was sent a big gun that you put your iPod in and do augmented reality gaming with it. Unfortunately, it arrived at my house and he's not got it yet.
Don't you two live quite close to each other?
Quite close, yeah.
Have I got a poster? Did I give you?
You've got the poster. Yeah, you've got my poster. He's got my poster, and I've got his zap gun. So let's really meet up.
Oi. For a nice romantic dinner.
With a gun. That's your kind of romantic dinner.
With a gun and a poster.
With a gun and a poster. That's pretty much what I always do.
Quick game of Carcassonne, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Would you mind if I play the red team this time?
I'm not sure where that's going.
Oh, yeah. I think we should probably move on.
Yeah, let's move on to the what we be. No, let's then move on to new releases. This week on the new releases, we've got pieces, we've got zombies, we've got bandits, we've got robots, we've got Sam and Max.
Robot for me then. I don't know if it happened for anyone else. But...
Did I do what?
You broke up into a kind of Stephen Hawking kind of voice.
It's all right, because I'm the one that's recording.
You're the host! Oh. I forget.
Right, let's look through the new releases. It's a bit of a variable week. There's some really good looking ones, and there's some not so good looking ones. Should we start with Chillingo? Because we accidentally skipped the Chillingo one last week after I said, we'll go back to that one, and then I never did. So let's give Chillingo a little bit more time, because they did send us mugs. Corruption. Toy Factory is out by Chillingo this week, along with three other games, which aren't in the midweek releases roundup. Toy Factory, it's a freemium game in which you make toys. You make and craft wonderful toys. And you have to, let's go through the screenshots, find all the great toy blueprints. Keep your factory running smoothly. I don't like the fact they seem to have employed bears to run their factory. Or is that just one of the products? Because that's surely not good. Craft the best toys in the land. And then see all your friends' factories and toy stores. Full stop. So it's a freemium game where you wait a while and gain energy and pay real money to get...
Toys.
Toys.
It looks like she's got little ducks as eyes. You see that?
Yeah. So there we go. Slightly disturbing Toy Factory there. Track Lapse is up next. This one is. This looks terrible. I'm going to cut that one out. I don't know why Ants picked these ones. I put them on the chat.
Well, it's fair enough for him to put them up. Someone might like them.
Blockalicious is the second Chillingo game this week. It's a match three title. It looks nice. And you have to give juice. I hate it when YouTube doesn't work. Come on.
You have to give juice?
I don't know. I'm trying to fill. The YouTube video won't work.
You have to group similarly coloured squares together, making jukeboxes. Juice boxes.
Jukeboxes. what you do.
Looks fast. I'll say that. It looks quick. If you ever get to the video,
But it's really. I mean, obviously they're showing the early levels, but it's really simple. You just, you know, it's only like three or four colours, and you're just like, zzz. It's like action match three rather than puzzle match three.
There we go, Blockalicious.
Have you not put in? You're not doing the stealthy up mailman one.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at now. So yeah, next up this week, mailmen, which looks a bit like a cross between Commandos and the Royal Mail. It does look like a cross between Commandos and the Royal. Yeah. Commandos being the old PC game.
Yep.
Where you would sneak about and try and avoid multicolored cones. Otherwise, they'd kill you. And you also got a person going, "I'm coming! That's easy! I'm coming!" All the time. Hmm. Hopefully, he doesn't feature in Mailmen. looks quite good.
Because he took a job after the Commander series.
Well, that's easy! Mailmen is out now from Iopa. Games for the pan. Pizza versus Zombies. Now this one looks interesting. When I say interesting, I mean really surreal. It's also got quite a surreal intro to this video, where a man tries to work out the best way of killing zombies with pizzas.
Have you seen the game?
Yeah, it looks weird.
Yeah.
That's your unimpressed voice. I know that.
But look, you can choose different lips and hats for the pizza, so that's got to be good.
It is weird. It does.
What other game do you play a 20-foot pepperoni covered pizza? That's all I'm saying.
You don't just play that though. You play a wrecking ball.
No, that's a pizza. It's all a pizza, isn't it?
Yeah, cool.
I think the whole point is
pizza shaped like a fish. Well,
basically, you control a big round thing that you can make change to other things, but effectively it's a pizza. I mean, it's completely bonkers.
It is crazy.
It looks quite interesting.
Yeah, I thought
it looks
as well.
Interesting, but yeah.
It's $1.99.
Kick some brittle dead ass. What a marketing tag that is. It's quite a bit scary, actually, for little kids.
It is. It looks. The faces look quite,
terrifying.
Odd.
Yeah, I thought it looked quite interesting. It's certainly not Plants vs. Zombies.
It's definitely noteworthy.
Okay, let's go on to the big one, I guess, for this week is, of course, Beat Sneak Bandit from Simogo, who did Bumpy Road. This one's a mixture between rhythm and stealth, where you can only move on the beat and everything else moves on the beat. If you don't move on the beat, you lose one of the clocks around the level, and you've got four to collect, I think. So you've got to move to the jazzy beat. And plan ahead, because all the doors and everything and the spotlights are also activated on the beat. It looks hard.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But Mark has been playing it all week, and he says it's very good. And the review went up today.
He does like hard games, doesn't he?
No, he probably likes hard games, I don't know.
He likes games, quote-unquote, with challenge.
Because there was that big argument.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that. So, yeah, he likes challenging games. What am I saying? He got a 9 from us. That's Gold Award. So
they didn't even send us any mugs. What's the matter?
That's a good point. Actually, I did get a mug.
No, nothing above a 7 unless there's some kind of gift involved. That's what I say.
Robot Gladiator is the next one. Or Gladiator Tour. It's an intense first-person swipe fighting game. So basically, it's a bit like Infinity Blade. But it features robots.
I really wish some developers would just come out and say that. Like, yo, we've made Infinity Blade, but there's robots in it. Give us your money. Like, I really wish they would. It looks interesting.
Seems to be a Nurofen logo in the top right.
So, here we go. Robot Gladiator, £1.99. Available now. Haven't reviewed it. Looks like it's going to be a bit derivative. Talking of stuff which looks like the same thing as before, Sam and Max Beyond Time and Space Episode 2 is also out. This is another one of Telltale's point and tap adventures. Featuring.
I thought you said they won't be made anymore. Did I hear that right?
No, I also said the only publisher that is still doing it is Telltale.
Okay.
yes, gotcha. Yes, episode 2 from the current Sam and Max series. I haven't played. I don't like the Sam and Max series, the new ones.
They're a bit pricey, aren't they?
They're not very funny either.
I was never a big fan, to be honest.
Well, the first one was quite good in its day.
Yeah. It's all right. Where's Grim Fandango?
Dead.
Oh. Someone should probably write to his parents or something.
I don't know. It's probably it's probably going to be kickstarted into action.
Oh, Lucas, don't.
£2.99 is the price. That's actually cheap for a Telltale game.
Hmm.
But yes, so that's out. Right. Is there any other releases that I missed? There probably is, because I thought this week was better than that. Oh yeah, finally out this week is Fairway Solitaire, which is Big Fish Games. It's their version.
Oh yeah, no, they look quite interesting, isn't it?
It's huge. As some commentator,
it's huge.
Like, it's 466 megs. I wonder why it's taking so long to download. Yeah, so commentator pointed that out. So thanks to Al Tuna for that one. It's interesting. I've played a little bit of it, but it crashes whenever I finish with cards in hand, which is kind of annoying because
really?
I always finish with cards in hand. Yeah, it doesn't work on my iPad for some reason. But it's an interesting concept. It uses solitaire golf, which is a variant of solitaire, which no one remembers except for me. And also a few other people who tweeted me about it. Yes, and also it combines it with golf. So it's strange. It's very nicely presented. It seems quite a fun game. It's freemium, so you can try it out. It doesn't seem too unnervingly freemium, so you won't get pestered too much. It seems quite good. But I wish it didn't crash, because I can't get past the first level.
That is odd.
Yeah, I'm waiting for an update. I was really looking forward to it as well. When I say looking forward to it, I mean after I saw it was out. I was really looking forward to playing it after I started down. Anyway, so that's it. That's the midweek releases. Let's go on to what we've been playing.
What we've been playing!
Hello. Welcome to what we've been playing. On my panel this week, we have... let's start with someone unusual. Let's start with John Jordan.
Unusual. I knew what he meant, I think. Did I? Did I know what he meant? Or did you mean
something
else?
Well, I don't normally start with you.
We've been rude. I don't know. I've not been playing very much as ever, because you know I'm very busy doing other things. But I did play a little bit. It came out actually last week. I don't think we read it yet. I'm not sure. Ragdoll 3. We mentioned it last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Last week.
It's good. Is it?
Yeah, really nice. I mean, it's kind of, to be honest, it's, you know, if you've played the Ragdoll games, basically you control a cannon that fires ragdolls and you have to hit a target, which is hidden behind various movable things and force fields and all manner of dynamic kind of obstacles. So, but this is, I guess this is the first one that you say they've really, really kind of spent a lot of time and money and resources making something that looks, because the first one was like a little stick figure and the second one was kind of like in between, like a little, you're still throwing stick figures, but it was a bit more, kind of the environments were a bit more put together. Whereas this one is a complete, you know, I guess it's broadly inspired by a Little Big Planet in terms of you have like the little kind of rag dolls, looks like a little rag doll kind of thing. But it's really nice. I mean, I don't think it was doing anything particularly innovative gameplay wise, but yeah, just really well, nicely put together. Firing cannons, collecting. You either hit the target. If you hit the target to complete the level, and you can, and your trajectory. If you get the right trajectory, you can kind of collect buttons along the way as well, which are kind of act as kind of stars, I guess. So that's kind of your high score kind of balancing act. It's obviously supposed to use as few ragdolls as possible. That's recommended. I think that was, not sure what was it. It was maybe like $2, I think. £1.49, I think. So anyway, that's worth getting. And the other one I played, which I think we have reviewed actually, was Train Defense. Has anyone seen this one? Which is
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play it that much, so I didn't really get into the, there was some kind of extra kind of features I didn't really do, but basically a kind of tower defense game where you're defending a tower, which is like a water tower, and like water is your kind of, is the effectively kind of a health kind of resource. And you have a train, and you have to draw a track, so you draw like an arc, and your little train chugs around the track, and it has a gun on, and it like shoots the waves of attackers who come in to steal your water. It's just done really nicely, and as you kind of shoot more attackers, you can create kind of secondary towers to kind of position around your water tower, and you can kind of pick up carriages and put guns on them, and you can, I didn't get this far. You can even pick up passengers if you've got time between the waves and take them. so they do pretty much everything they can with the train metaphor. And I kind of thought it was again, not, I mean, gameplay wise, I don't think if you played a tower defense game, it's not anything particularly you haven't seen before, but just the theme and the, you know, you can imagine like a little train, it's like a little chugging away, you know, a little animation, and I have to say both of those were fairly enjoyable.
All right, well, two recommendations. I will go next. I have been playing Pinball Arcade.
You and your pinballs.
Is it good?
It is good, yes. Yay. I've got a few reservations about it, though. So I'll do them first before I say how great it is. The artwork isn't as high resolution as I'd kind of hoped it would be on the iPad. So some of the details on the table are a bit lost. And like the flyer, you get like the original flyers that came with the table, which I think is a really cool touch, but they're so low res you can't actually read the writing. So, which is really disappointing. So you could zoom in, but all you see is big pixels. And I was like, oh, bollocks. Don't include them if they're going to be crap. Because the moment I saw flyer, like original, I was like, yeah, awesome. That's amazing. Anyway, that's a big disappointment. But the whole game itself is very good. The physics are really nice. What's interesting about it is because it has tables from different eras, the actual slope or the amount of slope on the tables are different. So you actually get different ball speeds depending on what you're playing. So the modern tables are actually a lot faster than than Black Hole, which is quite slow and quite meandering. Also, Black Hole is very weird. It just doesn't have anything in the center, as you would expect. So it's all about targeted hits to the top. And each one of the tables have been obviously picked because they have a different sort of technique about them. Like the one you get when you buy the app is it's the Arabian Tales one, but I can't remember if that's the actual name. But yeah, it which is a nice busy table, which has a lot of really easy shoots to shoot at, and also like really easy multi-ball bonus and stuff like this. So it's a really nice introduction. But of course, the more advanced scores are still tricky to get. But like Ripley's, believe it or not, is an absolute headache. I don't know what the hell's going on in that. Like really complex, really for like people. And what's great is every single table has a massive instruction book. Like you can go into the instruction and it shows you exactly what the bonuses are, how to get them. And you like can go through the book and it sets you objectives, like 5 standard objectives to get. And then it will set you 5 wizard objectives, I think they're called, which are really hard ones, like actually finishing tables and stuff like this. Theatre of Magic, I think, is my favorite. It's a really good table.
How much is it?
Well, that's the thing. You buy it and it's a few pounds, but you only get one table. And then every other table is another pound something, like £1.79 or £1.49. Black Hole's the cheapest. Or you buy them all for about £5 something. I bought them all.
Generous mood this week, aren't you? Just throwing you money out, buying games that aren't even out yet.
Well, yeah, I did that last week, technically. Yeah, but it's worth it in a way because they are very well done. And the artwork's a little bit low res, but in terms of actual sort of fun. But here's the big disadvantage, okay? It doesn't have Game Center.
Oh, okay.
And now for a leaderboard-driven game, that's not good. It tries to do Facebook scores, but it's really buggy. Even after this update they pushed out today, it still doesn't work. So the main enjoyment of beating, or at least trying to beat Chris Schilling, isn't there. I'll never beat Chris Schilling. He's too good at all games.
How do you know if you can't see what his score is? You don't know anyway, do you?
I know. I don't know. I can't see it because it doesn't share properly across Facebook.
Well, that's quite good then. You don't know that.
Yeah, but I want to beat him at something.
Oh, I see.
Might as well be pinball. Can't beat him at Solitaire Blitz, which I've been playing this week as well. Which is a Facebook game, unfortunately, so I can't really talk about it. But it's very good. It's coming out in March, I think, from PopCap. But yeah, he keeps thrashing me at that. And every other game I seem to remember being on a leaderboard of him on. So, feeling pretty depressed. Anyway, so, Keith.
Hello.
What's up, man?
I haven't played anything new this week, actually, because I've been too busy going on dates with your ex-girlfriends. But other than that, I've obviously been playing the game I spoke about last week, End Night HD, on iPad a bit more. I was quite negative about it last week. This is kind of zombie survive and kill zombies as you walk around a very dark town viewed from above kind of affair. Which kind of relies, as I said last week, all relies on your ability to read a map, because essentially you're just kind of going around picking up objects that are marked off a map, which I wrongly said last week, actually, that you didn't really show where you were. It does, actually. There's a kind of arrow, but it's still incredibly...
Kind of arrow.
It's just kind of tiny little, a bit like a little arrow. Just kind of pointing, obviously showing you where you are and when you're looking. But the map is so kind of now Photoshopped that it really doesn't help. And it's just, the main problem with it actually is that it constantly... I mean, this sounds like it should be a good thing. It just constantly throws zombies at you. So the problem is that you're walking around places, you're trying to pick up objects, and you're just constantly surrounded. So every time you actually stop to try and do anything, like get the blood samples you're meant to start off getting.
Or go into the bath.
Well, exactly. Yes. That is one of the funny things. So you're doing these things. You're going to the bath to wash yourself, and then you actually 2 seconds later you need to go back to the bath and wash yourself because you've been bitten again. It's just there's no subtlety, no subtlety to it whatsoever. There's no kind of development. It literally just it's a big box, and there's zombies being thrown at you from all directions. And it's more of a case of when you're going to die than any chance that you'll actually get far enough to do any of the things it's telling you to do. And it's so dark as well. You're kind of bumbling around like a drunk. It's a bit, yeah, it's just kind of, it's a really nice atmosphere, and it's kind of quite slickly presented, but it doesn't feel like a game. There's no kind of, you know, there's no sense that your thing's getting harder or whatever, or that it's given, you know, that an area is well defended or something. It literally just throws zombies at you 24/7, which makes it basically a bit unplayable at times. So, yeah, not my I correct myself, but I don't correct my negative feelings that I, you know, because I'm just an incredibly good judge of character, obviously.
Well, that's not good.
So I've decided that I kind of need to catch up on some of the absolute classics of iPhone games, because I think we've got to the point where we've got classics now, you know, like big marquee titles. So I've decided I've been playing Temple Run, which is an endless 3D runner in which you swipe left and right to go around corners and swipe up to jump and swipe down to go under trees. And you are running away from ravenous zombie monkey things all the time, collecting coins and that sort of thing. I'm right in thinking it's got a lot of stick in the past, aren't I?
Stick? No.
No, it's got a lot of praise and lots of quarters.
The number of people that I've seen badmouth the game, and it's definitely not that Temple Jump clone. They've been going after Temple Run, sort of saying, oh, you know, this is what iOS gaming is and that sort of thing. And maybe it's the different people I follow on Twitter and other bits and pieces, but it's brilliant. Like, it's absolutely fantastic. And if this is what, you know, if this is what iPhone gaming is, then like sign me up for a whole bunch more, you know.
I mean, it's interesting because basically because it was originally, when I first saw it, I saw it about a year ago at GDC, and it was just like it came out as like a 99-cent game. And I kind of thought it was quite nice, but I'm not really into I've got to get a high score in these kind of games. So I was just like, I'm not really sure it's going to get anyone's attention. And literally it launched and completely didn't do anything at all. And then they just put it down to free, and somehow, because it went free and it's really easy to do. And they did kind of add in-app purchases and stuff like that. So, and somehow it just got really viral. I think it's such an easy game to play that everyone is comparing leaderboards and stuff, you know, comparing scores, and it's got that kind of doodle jump kind of, can I play again kind of thing. So
yeah, and like just that, because obviously we were talking about Game Center earlier, like it, that kind of experience whereby it is very much asynchronous multiplayer, that is where Game Center really does shine, because obviously when you're playing on an iPhone, you're not really going to sit down necessarily. There aren't too many games that you would sit down for an hour, 2 hours or whatever it is and say, oh, I want to play some multiplayer. I wonder who's about. But for leaderboards and that sort of thing, I think it works really, really well. It's just really well put together. And there's a surprising amount of depth to it, such as, for example, like I realized that if you keep swiping down, you can just stay sliding the entire time if you want to. And that's actually really useful because it means that there's quite often that you get like three sets of trees that you have to slide under in one go. But it's bad because obviously there's a very subtle movement of the camera down a little, so you can't see what's coming. You can't see a pitfall coming. And like, it's just small little things like that. Things like, you know, there's those fire torches that you have to slide, that you think you have to slide under all the time because it looks like you have to. But if you time it just right, you can jump over them as well. And it's just these nice little extra bits and pieces that go to make it this really, really compelling experience where you do, you know, you do see your friend's scores like fly past you and think, ha ha, I've beaten Mark Brown, that'll teach him. But to see that and you think, fantastic, I've done that, that's a challenge over. But you also know that there's somebody just ahead of you that you think, one more go, I reckon I could do it. And I think I'm like third or something like that amongst my friends now, and I'm desperate to play more. It's absolutely fantastic, and I've kind of, as I say, I've been kind of going through these classics, and I've gone through Pegland. That's fantastic. So I'm really looking to kind of go and find some more iOS gems in the very near future, and kind of come back and sort of school myself on this platform a little bit more.
A lot of people were extolling the virtues of Osmos earlier this week. We were talking about that.
Isn't that a PC game?
No, not Osmos. It was Ozone. Sorry.
I was thinking, does he mean Ozone? Should I chip in here and say, I think Ozone.
Ozone.
Game,
okay.
Ozone. It's very old.
I'll have to think about that. But yeah, so I'm going to plunge through the Pocket Gamer archive and go and look at all the golds and platinums and stuff and see if I can pick out any stone cold solid choices, unless you guys have got any.
Well,
like a top.
There's a few. Well, yeah, no, get Tilt to Live. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Or Siege Hero.
Oh, yeah, Siege Hero.
I love Siege Hero.
Yes. Thanks very much, guys. Thank you for keeping me company in my longest hour. So thanks very much to you listeners for listening again this week, or if you've never listened before, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. The week after that is going to be Mobile World Congress, so I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's going to be one of those drunken ones, isn't it, John?
why me? Why are you suggesting that that would involve me? It might be, yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be one of those. So, yes, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye.